It's time to take 10 minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Vayeshev, Canaanite Wives. Look at the story of Yehuda in our Parsha. What does it say? Vayarsham Yehuda bat ish k'nani v'shmo Shua v'gachah v'avoyla. Yehuda was in this place there, and he saw a woman who was the daughter of a Canaanite, and his name was Shua, and he married this woman. Then they had children. Didn't work out too well. The two children died, and et cetera, et cetera. But we say, wait a second. He married a Canaanite? Judah is supposed to be one of the good guys. He's one of the leaders, one of the ancestors of King David. He married a Canaanite? Don't we know that? Yeah, Avraham said that under no circumstances should Yitzchak marry a Canaanite. He's already married Rivka. Don't you know that both Yitzchak and Rivka were very upset when Esav married a local Hittite? We know that Rivka and Yitzchak sent Yaakov to marry from the family because he was not going to marry a Hittite woman, a Canaanite woman. So how could Judah marry a Canaanite? So let's look at the Ramban. He has an extensive analysis. He says, look, the Unkelos tells us the key thing. Now, there are different versions of this Unkelos, the Aramaic translation, but one translation is Tagra, that Gvar Tagra, that he didn't marry the daughter of a Canaanite. A Canaanite is a merchant. Canaanites were merchants, and sometimes you use the word Canaanite not as a national term, but as a description of career. She was the daughter of a merchant. Why did he say that, says Ramban? Because surely he didn't marry a Canaanite. Surely the other tribes did not marry Canaanites. The Tanchuma says that there's a debate. Rabbi Yehuda says that all the tribes married their twins. They had twin sisters, unbeknownst to us. Midrash tells us that they did. And they married their sister. Now, married a sister sounds like a bad thing to do. It's incest. So he says, well, maybe in those days you could marry a half-sister. So they would all marry their half-sisters. You wouldn't marry your actual twin. You would marry your other brother who was from a different mother. And therefore, it wouldn't be total incest. That's what they married. But Reb Nechemiah says they married Canaanites. So it seems that the Ramban is challenged by this Reb Nechemiah. Reb Nechemiah says, all the 12 tribes did marry Canaanites, like Judah. But Ramban says, oh, God forbid, you should marry Canaanite. What are you talking about? So he says, no, that's what he means. Just like the word Canaanite here means merchant, the rabbi in the Midrash also meant that, Reb Nechemiah means that they married merchants, people who were transplants, people who were living in Canaan, but they were really merchants from somewhere else. He says it's a svara. It's a logical thing that they did not marry Canaanites. Ichnasu b'nokan. How could they possibly marry Canaanites? These are the people who are going to inherit the land of Israel. And they're going to marry the wicked, the cursed Canaanites? How is it possible? The Ibn Ezra says no. Ibn Ezra disagrees. Ibn Ezra said before the Ramban that that since he violated this notion of marrying a Canaanite, that's why all his children died. The Er and Onan, the two first children, died because he had done this sin. And if indeed it's a sin, then when it says he saw a woman who was the daughter of a Canaanite and he married her, it reminds us of the story of Shimshon. The story of Shimshon. Shimshon lifted his eyes and he said, give me this woman because she's good in my eyes. Eventually, Shimshon was punished with his eyes. They took out his eyes. Judah is drawn by his eyes. By the looks of this woman to marry her, and he should have been more careful about who he married. That's what Ibn Ezra says. But the Ramban disagrees. Now, there is a Rashi in Vayechi that also makes it sound like, based on a Medrash, that they all married Canaanites, all the tribes married Canaanites, because it says, Vayusu otobana, that his children carried the bier, the coffin of Jacob was carried by his children. So the rabbis say, but not the grandchildren. The grandchildren could not carry because Yaakov said, these grandchildren come from Canaanites. I don't want them carrying my my coffin. So we see that they all married Canaanites. So he says, well, maybe it's just referring to Shimon married a Canaanite. He had a child known as Shaul ben Haknani, Saul, the son of the Canaanite. All right, maybe he married one. Maybe Ibn Ezra's right, and Judah, the Shelah people were from the Canaanites, but everybody else did not. Or he may have a text in that Midrash that the great-grandchildren should not marry. Maybe the great-grandchildren marry Canaanites, and that's why the great-grandchildren were told not to carry the hearse. Now, we're focusing on Judah's wives, but the ultimate wife was not these people. All he had from him, the only surviving person from Bathshua, from the daughter of Shua, was, maybe her name was Bathshua. The only one that survived was Shelah, which is one of the tribes. But more significantly, the progenitor of Boaz and ultimately the Mashiach himself was Tamar. And Tamar, it doesn't say who she was. So was she a Canaanite? So he says, the Ramban, of course, would say, no, surely she was from a local traveling group. They weren't actual Canaanites. And he says, Chalila, God forbid, Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Chalila, God forbid that the Mashiach should come from the cursed Canaanites. You think the family tree of David is not only from the Moabites and not only from this strange relationship of Judah and Tamar, but that Tamar herself is a Canaanite? God forbid. In fact, the Medrash says that Tamar is the daughter of Shem, son of Noah. She is a very holy lineage. She's from Shem, who is the great teacher of Avraham Yitzchak. So what I'd like to do is to challenge the assumption of the Ramban. Ramban says, how could it be that the tribes of Israel who eventually would inherit the land, and the areas would be known as this is the Reuben area, this is the Shimon area, this is the Judah area, how could those tribes be married to and basically be wed to, be linked with Canaanites? So basically, the land of Israel is the land of Canaanites. Well, maybe it is so. Maybe it is that they married Canaanites. I forget who said it, but someone once said that when it came to the first generations, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they had to be pure. They were the forefathers. They could not marry Canaanites. But the tribes, what were they going to do? There's no one else there in Israel. They married the Canaanites. As a matter of fact, it's part of getting sort of ensconced into the land, not to become one nation, as we discussed last week, with the people of Shechem, but they married a girl here, a girl there, and they took them into the Jewish family, which is now more established. Now there is a Jewish chamula, Jewish family, Jewish clan, 70 people within that. So they took some Canaanite wives. So I found Naftali Hertz Weisel. He was a scholar in Germany in the 19th century, and he says as follows. He says, what do you think, among the Canaanites there were no good souls? Surely they looked and they inquired very carefully to see those who had midos tovos, who had good qualities, like Rivka, like Sarah, to find people with good, like Rachel, Leah, people with good qualities, and they married them. Except, says Rabbi Weisel, I don't know about Yehuda. Yehuda may have gone after his eyes and married a Canaanite, as it says, but maybe Shimon as well. But the others, surely they married people who were upstanding citizens. And of course, they became part of the Jewish family. They converted, and they became part of the Jewish nation. So it turns out, according to Naftali Hertz Weisel, he's saying that it turns out that although the Jews displaced the Canaanites and we killed we wiped out the Canaanites and all that, but don't think that the Canaanites were completely wiped out. In the end, Canaanites were part of the Jewish family. The tribes were actually married to Canaanites. And the Canaanites still have some little achuza. After all, if they were originally given, this is the land of Canaan, it's known as the land of Canaan, and God gave it to them. But then he gave it to the Jews. But he gave the wives, there was some lineage of the Jews going back to Canaan. Very strange. But think about the creation of the world as well. You had the line of Abel, he died. Then you had the line of Cain, he's no good. Then you had the line of Seth, and we come from Seth. Sheth. So then when God destroyed the whole world, all that was left was Noah. So then you say, oh, so the Abel was killed. Cain is no good. So he's gone. And Noah, he's from Seth. So we're all from Seth, right? The rabbis say that Noah's wife was Naamah. She was actually from the Canaanites. So there is some leftover blood of the Canaanites, of the Cainites in the national family tree, in the international family tree. We come from Noah and Naamah, Naamah being in the family of Cain. So that even though Cain was cursed, but it's not fair. There shouldn't be some remnant of Cain. There's a remnant of Cain. Canaanites were cursed, but it's not right. There shouldn't be any remnant of Canaan. After all, it was their land. There's a remnant. They're the wives of the tribes, or at least some of them, were Canaanites according to Ibn Ezra, and according to Reb Nechemiah in the Medrash, according to the simple reading of Reb Nechemiah in the Medrash, and according to the other Medrash that Rashi quotes in Vayechi, they indeed did marry Canaanites. But says Reb Oizel, maybe it's okay. Maybe they married people of good character, which in those days would be equivalent to marrying a convert, they people who had adopted the ways of Abraham. They were Abrahamic types. In that sense, it was okay. Not in the first generation. Then they had to be pure. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their wives had to be from the family. But as they became a larger nation, just like Esav came into the Seir Edom family, the Jews were connected to the Canaanite family, but on our terms. With conversion, with the proper midos, with the proper character traits. And what we see, Tamar had the special traits that she had. She was willing to die rather than embarrass Judah. This is a fine woman. This is a woman who, yes, is worthy of being the mother, great-great-grandmother of King David and eventually of the Messiah. And if she happens to come from Canaan, that's the good fortune of the Canaanites. Maybe there's still something left of all those folks, even though most of them were perished from the land. Thanks for joining us here for this interesting discussion of Parsha Vayishev. Join us each week for discussion of the holidays and various other things. Next week we'll talk about Hanukkah, God willing. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. And thanks to our sponsors, Joe and Jennifer Roberts. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.